Morning, Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. That was easily the best performance by a new artist. Well, he's not the newest artist, but by someone who wasn't 50. It was the by far the best performance by someone who hasn't been in the business for a long time. Kendrick Lamar, pretty astounding performance at the Grammys. And the Grammys were last night, and I would love to hear from you guys. I watched the whole thing. I have like some notes and some thoughts. And what did you guys think? If you watched the Grammys and you would like to share your thoughts with us, you can call us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we got the results here. I'll read off some of the winners. We've got some other Grammy stories that we're going to get to. So I ended up watching the whole thing, and I thought the show was not very good. I thought it was boring, pretty lackluster. A lot of the performances were very disappointing. Many of the performances, I think the majority of the performances were very disappointing. Few highlights here and there that we'll get into, that being one of them, Kendrick Lamar being one of them. As far as the winners go, I don't know. I guess people are mad because Taylor Swift, her album 1989 won Album of the Year over Kendrick Lamar's album, which I guess he was the favorite going in. He had 11 nominations, which I guess was one shy of what Michael Jackson had for Thriller in terms of nominations. He walked away with 5. He did walk away with the most Grammys of any artist last night. And he did walk away having given the best performance of any of the nominees without question. So I was like making little notes here as I was watching it in chronological order. Now, Dan, you didn't see any of it.
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Now, I know that you are actually a fan of the Swift. What do they call
her?
What do they call her?
Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay.
T-Swift.
T-Swift. Do they call her?
Do they call her Tay-Tay?
Tay-Tay.
They do.
Yeah.
All right.
Tay-Tay. What about Swifty?
I have not heard Swifty. We can start that.
I think we should call her Swifty. She seems kind of Swifty. So Swifty, now I know that you like Swifty's album.
She'll come clean your house.
Long as she doesn't play any music while she's cleaning my house, it's fine. I don't dislike Swifty. I think Swifty's fine. And you know, she opened the show, and it was fine. I think she pissed off a lot of people, though, for dumping glitter all over them. My favorite new performer today is Chris Stapleton, is this crazy bearded, long-haired, crazy-looking guy who does, like, really, he was phenomenal on SNL a few weeks ago. And I officially like this guy. Like, I actively, when I saw him on SNL, I was like, oh, this guy's good. And he plays, like, sort of country, edgy country music, and I like him. And he won it. When he won his award, he won Best Country Album, he came up and he said, first of all, I'd like to thank Taylor Swift for glittering me up, which I thought was hilarious. There's this crazy-looking, big, bearded nut who is thanking Taylor Swift for glittering him up. Now, Dan, are you familiar with the Chris Stapleton?
Just, you know, like you said, you know, saw Saturday Night Live, seen him in a couple other situations.
It was after SNL that I actively checked him out online, and I he's good, man. What about you, Esmeralda? Do you know the Chris Stapleton?
No, just from what I saw on the Grammys last night.
And he was part of the best performance of the night. He was out there for the B.B. King tribute, which was by far the best performance of the night, by far. And it was... who else was out there? It was him. It was the wonderful Bonnie Raitt
and Clark Jr.
And Clark Jr. Yeah, who was awesome. So that was by far the best performance of the night was that.
I think we have a little bit here.
Oh, good.
Let us know way.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I can... I can back that, man. I can totally get behind that. And then Bonnie Raitt, such a badass. She comes out. You know what I mean? She comes out playing slide. Just like, and I'm like, man, okay. This makes up for Bieber jumping around with Skillix and Butt Pipe or whatever the other guy's name is. What was the other guy's name that he was?
Diplo.
Yeah. Diplo or Butt Pipe, whatever his name is. That was, I think that the B.B. King thing was kind of, it was after that. I know it was after the Gaga thing, because it was during the Gaga Bowie thing, I almost put my foot through the TV. So I know that, like, when the B.B. King thing happened, I was like, oh, okay. I guess they're saving, like, the really good stuff. Because all the stuff that I liked came really late in the show. Except for the duet by the two people that were, Tori Kelly and James Bay, right? Tori Kelly and James Bay. They were both nominated for Best New Artist for the Grammys, and they did like a duet with just each of them and a guitar. They each had a guitar, and they did one of her songs and one of his songs together. Do we have a little of that? Why are we doing it anymore? I used to recognize myself. Funny how reflections change. When we become something else, I think it's time to walk away. So come on, let it go. Just let it be. Why don't you be you? And now me. Yeah. Everything, they were good, man. That was a good performance. That was a really nice performance. It was just two people out there playing guitar and singing, and I kind of liked that. And then the B.B. King thing was like badass musicians up there like playing some B.B. King and playing actual instruments. You know? I don't know. And I know I sound, I'm 100 years old. I know that. So... Now, what you saw, Esmeralda, because you only saw the first part of it because you had to come down here to work.
Right. I saw everything that you liked.
So you saw the BB King?
No. I saw
everything that before that.
You didn't like.
Okay. Well, I just
except
not that
the James Bay thing.
No, but you saw James Bay and Tori Kelly.
Which I was kind of bored.
Really?
Well, maybe because I didn't know. I'm kind of curmudgeon-y and I'm like, I don't know what this is. Who are those kids up there?
Wow. Jeez.
I know.
I'm like 18 years older than you are, and I didn't have that response to those two kids.
And it was kind of, it was making me sleepy.
Okay. All right, well, let's start from the beginning. The Taylor Swift opening, I thought that was fine. She was Swifty.
I heard it. I was making guacamole.
Okay. We're making guacamole.
I was like, is she playing? What song is she playing? Out of the Woods. I love that song.
Yeah, so that's what she, and it was fine. It was good. Swifty. She knows how to work the crowd. She opened the show nicely.
Right, she had cute hair.
Little too much.
See, I thought the hair was ugly.
Really? I like her new little short bob.
She's got the little Catherine Zeta-Jones Chicago bob going.
I think it looks cute.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I don't know. She mugs a little too much to the camera, though, Swifty.
During her performance?
Yeah. Yeah, she's like looking at the camera, and I'm like, hey.
I wonder if that's a byproduct, though, now, because, like, I mean, she's been around now for a while. She's established, so she's, like, got those diva tendencies. Not that she is a diva,
right.
But, you know,
well,
she knows how to.
Can we? I say when what's-his-face won?
Who?
The troll-looking kid? The red hair?
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. He kind of looks like a troll.
The troll-looking kid with red hair.
He looks like a troll. A little bit.
Ed Sheeran.
Got like this little smushed face. He kind of looked like a cabbage patch.
Yeah.
Anyway, when he won, she freaked out.
Oh,
like,
I know.
I get it. They're friends or best friends or whatever, but calm down.
No, I don't know anything about their relationship. And
they're really good friends.
I didn't know that. And when she reacted that way, I posted on my Facebook page. So I guess Taylor Swift gets shocked, covers her mouth, and cries anytime anyone wins an award, if it's not her.
But even like as friends, it's like you need to calm down a bit.
That was ridiculous.
Calm it down.
Ridiculous. I'm glad they didn't cut to her as much as they have in the past few years. I don't, if you guys remember this, they would cut to her constantly, and she'd be like dancing and slapping people and running around. And She was being way too Swiftie over the years.
Right. I'd be like, you need to sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down and calm down.
No, seriously. I posted that, and then Andrea Darlis said, yeah, someone should put her up in the balcony. Andrea.
I don't like her, but no.
I understand. I thought that was ridiculous, but she's Swiftie. She's Swiftie. You know, they should make cleaning products named after her. They almost do. What if you come out on the front porch and Swiftie's standing there with a broom?
No.
Instead of a box of Swiffer products. You know how that's... I wasn't even aware that you could actually buy Swiffer products in the store. I thought you just had to wait for them to magically show up on your front door.
I have to have a lot of dust and like 20 dogs.
Yeah, and then suddenly a big package full of Swiffie.
Yes.
This sounds like a James Corden bit, doesn't it? Like, that's something James Corden would do.
Yeah.
Just show up on your doorstep with Taylor Swift and a Swifter.
No, that's something he would do. There's no question.
Carpool karaoke.
There you go. I think I would just shut the door. If she was on, I'd be like, no.
I would let Swiftie clean my house.
No, I feel like she wouldn't do a good job.
I wouldn't. You know, go ahead, come on in, Swiftie.
I'd be like,
Start in the bathroom, Swiftie. Do you think that Swiftie has ever cleaned anything in her life?
Probably, but she does it all stupid.
I don't think she's ever cleaned anything. How long has she been in the public eye now? 10, 12 years?
She's probably 16, maybe?
Yeah, she's never cleaned anything.
Teenager?
That woman has never cleaned anything in her life. Ever. Everything that's ever been cleaned in her life has been cleaned by someone else.
Can I tell you real quick story?
No idea why that even happened. Okay, yeah, please.
This weekend I went to Chinatown to go to the parade. Missed it, but anyway, waiting for this car to get out of their parking spot. They were getting in the car, and it was snowing, so they were cleaning it. But the person who was cleaning it was, I don't know, they'd never cleaned a car before ever with snow on it. It was the saddest thing ever. They were just delicately trying to brush it off.
Hang on. Hold on. I have to break, but I want to hear more of this about someone who doesn't know how to clean off a car. You sure it wasn't Swiftie? Okay.
No, it was a man.
So. Okay. All right. Well, it's the male equivalent of Swiftie.
It was.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're talking more Grammys, and I will explain to you why I absolutely hated Lady Gaga's quote-unquote tribute to David Bowie, which was terrible, but we'll talk about that and more. If you saw the Grammys, you got comments, 312-981-7200, and Esmeralda will tell us about the person who could never clean a car with snow on it. Baby, your smile's forever in my mind and memory. I'm thinking about hoping that you'll understand. It's Ed Sheeran, better known as Esmeralda's troll.
I'm going to go with Cabbage Patch Doll.
Cabbage Patch Doll.
He's got that kind of like smushy face. He does. And then the hair is not helping him. He needs a haircut.
I like that guy. I like Ed Sheeran.
No, he's fine.
I just like him. He looks like a troll.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like the kind, like the dolls. Not like the kind that live under the bridge.
Oh, well, okay. In that case, it's not insulting.
If he looks
like the troll doll that you take with you to bingo in order to have good luck, then yeah, I guess I can agree with that. That was Thinking Out Loud. It did win Song of the Year for the troll. And I like that song, and I like that guy. I didn't know that he was, really good friends with Taylor, with Swiftie.
Yeah, they're BFFs.
I wasn't aware of that. So, all right, well, that's the Grammys. The Grammys were last night. Overall, disappointing show because over the years, I've actually really enjoyed watching the Grammys, which one of the things that I've enjoyed about the Grammys over the past bunch of years is that it's not really an award show. I mean, they give out the major awards and you get to see that stuff, but it really is just a showcase of music. And for the past bunch of years, it was like pretty great. And this one just seemed lackluster. The performances weren't very good. And I don't know. I just found the whole thing to be pretty boring. A few highlights here and there, and some absolute lowlights. Let's see. LL Cool J, I got to tell you, man. Oh, yeah, we got to get back to the snow story. I forgot about the snow story.
No, it was just very inefficient, and it reminded me, like, that's what Taylor Swift, would do.
That's how Swifty would clean her car.
And they also, he took a selfie.
Oh, God.
Of himself cleaning. Oh. Actually, he had the driver get out of the car, and then him, wiping the car. It was the worst. And then he did a thing where he wiped the windows, but then he wiped the roof onto the windows. It's like, what? You just ruined everything.
How about the people who clean off the car and then leave a foot of snow on top of the car on the roof?
And see, he was taking it off, but he did it after the fact.
No, I understand.
It was useless.
It was stupid, obviously. But I love when I see like a guy who's cleaned off the car, but then on top is like a foot of snow on the roof of the car.
Right. I think that's illegal now.
Illegal?
Well, you can get in trouble because if it flies off your car, it can hurt people. Not hurt people, but it can obstruct.
Well, of course.
It flies into other people's cars.
Yeah. I like the people who just like, I remember I had a friend of mine. He had an old Mustang and the heat didn't work in the car. Barely worked in the car. It was like a 69 Mustang. It was a beautiful car, but he sort of beat it to hell. And I mean, anybody who's driving like a convertible 69 Mustang in the winter clearly doesn't know how to take care of a damn car. You know what I mean? Doesn't really care. You don't take that car out in the winter. So I remember one time we were in the car and he scraped the window enough so it was like a tank. He got like one little rectangle of clearness. And he would drive, and then, like, he would get to certain places, and he would have to, like, actually take the scraper and scrape the car more as he was driving. Like, he'd have to stick his arm off the window and scrape it more. Okay, so you're assuming that Swifty, not a good car cleaner.
I would think so. Well, because you said.
She's never had anything cleaned
exactly.
In her life.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay. All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk more Grammys, and then Esmeralda will tell us about the cleaning habits of Stevie Wonder.
I bet he cleans real good.
I bet he does, too. All right, we're going to break on WGN. Stevie Wonder. And Pentatonix doing That's the Way of the World as a tribute to Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire. And it was great. For me, not enough. Not enough of a tribute to Maurice White.
I would have liked to have heard the fun songs.
Well, yeah, I would have liked to have heard more.
Right.
I mean, I just think that he deserved, Maurice White, man, he deserved a tribute with a couple of bands out there doing like a bunch of artists. That was great. I mean, there's no question about it. It was wonderful. And Stevie Wonder still has pipes, man. That guy can sing. And it was nice and it was really cool and everything. And then Earth, Wind, and Fire came out. The surviving members of Earth, Wind, and Fire came out and they presented Album of the Year. So, I mean, but they were there.
Which, by the way,
what the hell?
One of them, I thought that he looked like Terry Crews. With a mustache.
Yeah.
The guy with the long hair.
Yeah.
His eyebrows are very expressive.
That's Maurice Evans' brother. Maurice Evans. Maurice White's brother.
Very expressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought they could have done more it was really, that was beautiful. It was great. And I have no idea who Pentatonix is.
Oh, they're just a cappella. That's the thing. That's what they do.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they did on stage with Stevie.
They have whole albums of that.
Okay. So that started to sell well after Glee,
apparently,
my guess would be. I also thought that Stevie Wonder's presentation, when he gave the award to the troll, he did a really cool thing where he opened up the envelope and then he said, "You can't read this because you can't read Braille." He did that. And then he actually says, in all seriousness, everything should be accessible to anyone with any disability. And he didn't go out of his way Do you know what I mean? He didn't go out of his way to be preachy about it. It was a very cool statement. It just goes to prove Stevie Wonder rules. that's it.
I did wonder, does he know what camouflage is? Because he's wearing the camo. I'm like, they do that? Like, do they go, hey, Stevie, do you want to wear camouflage? He doesn't know what it is.
Well,
how do you explain camouflage?
I don't think Stevie Wonder has not been the best dresser.
I mean,
years, I don't know who's dressing him.
Who knows? I'm curious.
I don't know. But Stevie Wonder in camo is a little weird.
No, I mean, he can do whatever he wants because he's Stevie Wonder.
Yes.
But I'm curious, like, how do they just go, here, Stevie, put this on?
That's cool. A good question.
Or do they explain to him what it is? And I'd be curious to, like, how does he perceive camouflage?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Just put something comfortable on me. That would be my guess. Make sure I'm comfortable. I don't care.
Well, you'd think they'd make him just wear all black or just one color.
He's the man, though. But I still think that Earth, Wind & Fire should have a bigger tribute. That's just me. 920 area code says the Glenn Frey tribute was too short. He was shortchanged. One more song would have been better. I personally think that it was perfect. And that was Glenn Frey's signature song from the Eagles. It got all the remaining Eagles together on the same stage, which, you know, is a very, very hard thing to do without these guys punching each other in the face.
Right. Don Henley did not look happy.
Henley never looks happy.
He just looked like he had to be there, and I'm playing the drums, and that's that.
And Timothy B. Schmidt just woke up off of Eileen's couch and had to be driven there. The other, because we've got another texter that says on the Glenn Frey tribute, who was the guitar player to the right next to Walsh? That was Bernie Leadon, who was up there. He's played with the Eagles before. Joe Walsh was up there. I mean, he got everybody up there, and the guy who wrote the song is Jackson Browne. And Jackson Browne so closely associated with the California sound and the sound of the Eagles, it was perfect. I thought it was a perfect tribute. You know, they did the song. A lot of those guys just don't get along anymore. And they got together. They did the signature song that Glenn Frey performed in the Eagles with the guy who wrote the song, who is a longtime friend and voice of that kind of music. I thought it was actually a really good tribute. And again, real musicians on stage playing real music, real, you know, instruments, which, you know, goes a long way in my book. I don't know. Justin Bieber bouncing around while Skrillex and Buttpipe are doing something. I don't know what that doesn't. Why did Adele sound out of tune? Well, I saw a tweet. She sounded terrible, by the way. And I know that that's sacrilege. Oh, no. Don't say anything remotely bad about Adele. Oh!
It wasn't her fault.
Well, that's the thing. I saw her, because she sounded awful. And I was like, well, something's got to be wrong here. Something has to be wrong. Because obviously, I'm not the biggest Adele fan in the world, but she can sing.
Right.
I mean, that woman can sing.
I heard something when I was watching it. Like, I could, like, something happened.
Well, here's,
you could see it, like, change.
I saw her tweet. Okay, she tweeted out on the onto the tweets, into the Tweety zone. So she tweeted into the Tweety zone. She said, hey, here's my Tweety. And said, when she walked out, the piano mic fell over and, like, hit the piano, and then the guitar got all screwed up, and that made her go out of tune, and her mic was messed up. And she says, and then she just said, blank happens.
Right.
And then she said, so I'm going to reward myself right now, so I'm going to In-N-Out Burger.
Nice.
And that's what she did for Tweeties. So that was her explanation. There was a malfunction with the equipment. The piano got messed up. She wasn't hearing things right. The guitar made a weird noise and went off key.
Right.
She was off key the entire song, and she knew it too, because when the song was over, you could see she was like, "Oh man."
Someone said, I was seeing tweets as well that were saying that she sounded really great if you were there.
Oh,
so
well.
So it was just all,
well, that's another
all
thing.
The microphones.
That's another thing. I don't know, because another reason why I don't think this was a very good Grammys, the sound at home was bad. It was bad. Mics were going out left and right. Guitars were down too low. The mix was bad on TV. Now, hopefully it sounded better live, you know, in the actual auditorium. But it was a really bad mix. I mean, I don't know who did the sound for the television show, but it was bad, and it was very inconsistent. Very, very inconsistent. And Adele fell victim to that. But she got an In-N-Out burger. So she's fine. She's Adele. She sold 80 trillion records in 15 minutes. Don't we know that? Isn't that the record, Dan? It was 80 trillion records in 15 minutes.
Yep. They had to invent a new number.
That's right, because she sold so many records. 773 area code says, Tori Kelly and James Bay were my favorite. They were good, man. I enjoyed them. Put Esmeralda to sleep.
Yeah, it was a little... What did you think about Little Big Town?
I don't know what to make of that at all.
Did you listen to the song, like the lyrics?
It's about, like, crushing on a girl.
No.
And wanting to pour perfume.
No. So I was, because I was like, oh, this is quite, you know, for a country music band, wow, they're going out on a limb.
Yeah.
No. It's about, so the lyrics are, you have a girl crush and this and that, but then there's a line that says, I want to kiss your lips because they're kissing his. So it's essentially a jealousy song.
Oh.
Talking about the girl that's the guy that you want to be with.
Oh, all right. Well, I was bored to death. I was hell is this? And then they tried a little camera tricks with spinning around between the three people singing.
Yeah, I didn't like that song.
And by the way, what the hell has happened to country music? Because that's not country. Well, I don't know hell that is, but that's not country. And who was the other that Sam Hunt? That's that guy? Is that his name? Sam Hunt?
I think.
Out there with Carrie Bradshaw. Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker came out and sang with Kim Cattrall.
That would have been
amazing. They drank Cosmos while they were up there singing. No, Underwoods. Okay? Carrie Underwood and Sam Hunt. That's not country. I don't know. When did they? What? How?
I don't know. I was watching the Grammys with V.
Yeah.
And he played me this thing of, it was at least, I think, six country songs that were mixed together, and they essentially just sound like one big song.
Absolutely.
Like, they all meld together.
Absolutely.
Like, one, they had one on top of another, and it just sounded like the same thing.
The majority...
Like, what is going on with this?
The majority of songs that are considered country nowadays are not country. They're not.
Yeah, I don't like it.
They're not. Chris Stapleton, that guy's doing country music. You know? That could be categorized as country. It's a little hard-edged, more, you know, but it's country. What Carrie Underwood and Sam Hunt did last night, that's not country music. That, at its best, is popish at its best.
Right.
And that, I want to kiss the girl who kissed my friend's friend, that song with the little house, little bighorn, that's not country either. Good God. And then when they were doing the nominees for the country album, which eventually went to Chris Stapleton, who is like my new favorite new artist.
By the way, do you know he did a duet with JT at the Country Music Awards?
Yes.
So even more reason.
See, even
like
more
him.
Reason to love him because he worked with my man JT. But, you know, all the other like nominees that they played little snippets of that were nominated for country, I think three out of the five didn't even sound like country to me. I was like, what is it? Who? Huh?
They look really corny.
I don't know.
It looked really bad.
You know.
And also Luke Bryant was hilarious.
He was
the country guy in the Lionel Richie tribute.
Okay, hold on a second. I want to talk about that. We have to take a break. I want to talk about the Lionel Richie thing, and that's going to lead me into why I hated the lady. One of the many reasons why I thought Lady Gaga was horrible with the David Bowie tribute, where it did not do Bowie, not even remotely an inkling of justice was given to David Bowie with that tribute. It was embarrassing. But what's going to lead into that is talking about that Lionel Richie tribute. What's his name? Luke Bryant?
Bryant.
Okay. Bryant? Okay, yes. Luke Bryant. All right, well, I definitely want to talk about that. 312-981-7200. We're talking about the Grammys, a less than remotely stellar broadcast. I think plagued by some audio problems and some really bad performances and some great stuff sprinkled in there, but not as much as the past few years, so... All right, we'll talk more about it. Grammy talk.
Luke Bryant, ladies and gentlemen.
First time I saw you. Whoa.
Okay, your computer doesn't want to play it.
One day you'll
and for good reason. Okay. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio here till 5. The opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6. That's from the Grammys last night. That is the Lionel Richie tribute that they did. That was Luke Bryan. All right.
What did you think of that neon face of his on the wall?
The neon face of who?
Of Lionel Richie.
Of Lionel Richie,
you
sure.
You see it?
Yeah.
It was frightening. It looked like it was going to shoot lasers out of its eyes.
Well, his face has already been the thing of nightmares to blind women who make clay.
I did wonder if anyone was going to bring out the Chia Pet.
Bring out the Chia Pet, yeah, that the blind woman did. Hello! And then hang up. Stalker. So, here's the deal. Now, I can totally understand why Lionel Richie, you know, deserves a tribute. He won I don't even know, what award did he win? Did they make up some award?
The Music Cares Man of the Year Award.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, the guy's done a bunch of stuff, and they made it, you know, they've said, hey, he won all kinds of awards. It was outrageous. Remember, he kept saying, outrageous, 31 years ago. He kept winning for his album from 31 years ago, which was Let's Run Through the Streets, or whatever it's called. It's it Can't Stop It. It's something like Can't Stop, or whatever. That's what it was called. But I just, and fine, you know, Lionel Richie, the guy... He's a music legend. I'm not the biggest fan of his solo stuff. I loved the Commodores, don't get me wrong. Couple of Lionel Richie solo songs I like. But for the most part, meh. But I can understand the guy deserves a tribute. But I do want to say this. I want to point this out. When he won all those Grammys 31 years ago, I just want to mention three other albums that came out that same year. Purple Rain came out that year. Born in the USA came out that year. And Like a Virgin came out that year. That's all I don't need to say anything else. I really don't think I need to say anything else. All right, so the big thing about this, they bring out John Legend. They bring out Demi Lovato. They bring out your Megan Trainor.
That was not good.
Okay, and they bring out the Tyrese. Okay,
he was good.
And then you got the Luke Bryant.
All right. I don't know what that was.
So here's the thing. Now, I can understand. Whose idea was it? Lionel Richie has written a lot of great songs. A lot of great songs with the Commodores. And, you know, not, in my opinion, you know, phenomenal music on his solo stuff. But a lot of classic songs. Lionel Richie has a large catalog of songs to choose from. Who the hell thought it was a good idea to include Penny Lover? Who thought that was... Now, was it Luke Bryan's choice? If so... He's an idiot. Like, he started singing, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. They're including Penny Lover in the Lionel Richie tribute? Penny Lover? Like, I think Lionel Richie even thinks that song sucks. You're going to do a tribute to Lionel Richie, and you include Penny Lover. I was laughing. I was on my couch laughing out loud. I'm like, Penny Lover. I can't tell you the number of jokes my friends and I made at the expense of that song. And then it shows up on a tribute to Lionel Richie. Okay, so Lionel Richie, who, by the way, is not dead, okay, gets five artists to pay tribute to him. Five. Bowie. David Bowie gets one. A Madonna wannabe who wears meat dresses.
She only wore it once.
I don't care. So I'm not the biggest Lady Gaga fan in the world, obviously. I don't like Lady Gaga. Never have. Don't get it. I think she's insanely derivative of Madonna in every way possible. And in fact, completely ripped off Express Yourself with her biggest hit. That Born That Way song is an absolute complete ripoff of Express Yourself. Exactly. So I'm not a big fan. And I was like, when I heard she was going to do the tribute, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I can understand that. She's a fashion icon. She likes to change up her image. She likes to keep people guessing. Okay. And when I found out it was only going to be her doing the tribute to David Bowie, then I became depressed. So five major artists pay tribute to a guy who's alive, who jumps up on stage to join them. One half-assed artist pays tribute to David Bowie, whose work is not even in the same league. Lionel Richie is not even in the same league, not even the same ballpark, not even the same galaxy as David Bowie. And not only does Lady Gaga come up there, and she's the only one up there. Nile Rodgers was up there, too, and he should just have his head smacked for being up there during that performance. Not only that, but what she did and what they did as a production, not just her, it's not her fault only, was as bad, as cheesy a 70s variety show-styled medley as I've ever seen. More worried about what images are going to fly up on the big screen, more worried about having her face lined up so the makeup can hit and the spider can crawl around on her face, more worried about her getting behind the screen so that they could do the video thing, more worried about costume changes and wigs than you are worried about one of the most important musicians in the history of music getting his due. It was an insult. It was an absolute insult. It played like a bad medley that you could see on stage at a Six Flags. That's exactly what it was. It was an insult to David Bowie, and it was awful. And again, go, just look at this you know, the Lionel Richie tribute. 27 people come out on stage. You know, it was just ridiculous. And it wasn't just Lady Gaga's fault, who I thought was bad, not good at all. But whoever idea it was to do a medley like that, in the style that it was done, I swear to God, I expected Donnie and Marie to come out and join in. Really. Oh, Sonny and Cher are going to come out on stage with us now because evidently we're at a bad 1975 variety show. And this is our salute. This is our tribute to one of the most important musicians in the history of music. I hated it. So, Dan just said in my ear, we'll hear it after the break. Thank you, Dan. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. So that's how I felt about the David Bowie tribute. Awful. All right, we'll take a quick break. Grammys is what we're talking about. 312-981-7200. News is coming up. Yeah. Vic DiGilio here on 720 WGN. You're listening to the absolute worst part of the Grammys last night. An utter failure at paying tribute to one of the greatest artists in the history of music, turning it into a terrible Sonny and Cher, Donnie and Marie 1975 variety show medley. And, you know, having the artist who was supposed to represent Bowie be a derivative artist herself. It was absolutely awful. And like I said, it was much more appropriate for a stage at Six Flags than it was for a world stage, for the music world, you know, paying tribute to one of the most important artists in the history of music. And it was awful. Absolutely awful. They give five artists, you know, time to pay tribute to Lionel Richie, who's like sitting in the front row. And then they have one derivative artist do a really, really bad variety show medley. Clearly not concerned with the quality of the music, the quality of the artist who is giving the music. Much more concerned with the visuals, the effects, the makeup, and the costume designs than anything else. Absolutely the low light of the show, without question. And there were a lot of low lights on the show last night. Some good stuff. Kendrick Lamar, by the way, Kendrick Lamar's performance was incredible. Absolutely incredible. And, you know, the B.B. King tribute was my favorite of the night. The highlight of the night, as far as I'm concerned, was the B.B. King tribute featuring Bonnie Raitt and Chris Stapleton and more. The Lemmy tribute was weird. Now, I don't know. Esmeralda, have you seen the Lemmy tribute at all?
I didn't, but I heard it was on it. I was like, what?
It was very strange. And I will say this. First of all, the fact that they actually paid tribute to Lemmy with two full songs.
What was their name, by the way?
The Hollywood Vampires.
Okay.
So it was Alice Cooper, God bless him. Joe Perry, Duff McKagan, Matt Sorin, and Johnny Depp. Okay? So they come out, and it was a very, it was just a very strange, it was a strange idea. I appreciated the fact that it was just, you know, like, get all those guys on stage knew Lemmy, clearly had a passion for him and enjoyed him. No question about it. So and there was, it was definitely a very sincere tribute. Now, was it good? I don't really think so. I think they kind of maybe rehearsed a couple of times and just thought it would be fun. If Lemmy were around to see it, would he enjoy it? I absolutely think that Lemmy would have enjoyed that. Now, just on the on you know, just like the level of like great musicianship on stage, it really was not that great. It was fun. It was very strange. It was fun. And I don't care. Anytime I get to see Alice Cooper wander around on stage and sing, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. So it was a little weird, but I liked it. And I think Lemmy would have liked it, too. 920 area code says, Alice Cooper is blessed with perfect pitch. It was fun to see and hear Johnny Depp shred and sing. It looks like they had fun. And that's the only reason why I think people will be giving this like a much nicer remembrance than it deserved, because like musically it was a bit of a mess. But it's important that you actually pay homage to Lemmy from Motorhead, because he's, you know, in the world of heavy metal, he was a god. In the world of hard rock, he was a legend, and he absolutely deserved, you know, a good tribute. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it. It wasn't great, but I enjoyed it. 773 area code says, I agree that the Earth, Wind, and Fire bit was too short, but I heard that the Grammys are doing a special two-hour retrospective and tribute to the band in a few months. Oh, well. Get the DVR warmed up for that. Stu in Munster says, Gaga was too chaotic. Nothing gelled, and it was a failed tribute. It seemed really clunky. She's talented, but I wish she just did two or three songs, Stu said. Yeah. What else? I also did want to mention CBS, man. They are just relentless in letting you know what network you are watching. Relentless. From the fact that LL Cool J has now been the host for like 4 years in a row, and he's on one of the NCSI. Right?
Los Angeles.
He's on Los Angeles with Robin from the Batman, Chris O'Donnell. Okay.
Is it the number one drama?
Yeah, they've got 10 number one dramas on CBS. Yeah. So CBS, you got that. And you got like, okay, and you know that it is just like the most, like CBS is just going out of their way to promote CBS. During the awards, and obviously during the commercials, but especially during the awards. The other thing being, when you bring Gary Sinise out to hand out an award at the Grammys because he's on a new Criminal Minds spinoff, you clearly are blatantly just trying to do nothing but advertise CBS. The Weeknd. Can I mention this guy? I think this guy's good. I think he's got a great voice. I really do. And he can move. What's going on with the hair?
Yeah. I was thinking Gumby.
yeah. Although the Gumby is an actual high top fade look. Bobby Brown sported that in the...
Oh, I was thinking like the cartoon.
No, that's Gumby is like the high, you know, the high top fade look.
Right. But
they call
the
Gumby.
But the cartoon Gumby kind of just had a, like, two bumps on his head. if you remember correctly, Gumby.
I don't. All I know is that this guy is good, though. This Weeknd dude, he's
right.
Good. He's good. I like him.
Fly jams.
He's, you know, he can be fly. Yeah. There's no question about it. And so I enjoy the Weeknd. I just don't understand his hair.
Yeah,
and that's fine. I don't
fine.
Know. I just
there.
Don't.
It's
I mean,
like
I'm
one big dread.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 50. I'm not supposed to understand people in their 20s and their hair. I'm not supposed to understand that.
Somebody, one of our colleagues, a bunch of our colleagues, if people want to check it out, on WGN Plus, we're live blogging the Grammys, including the lovely and talented Kristen Decker. And she retweeted somebody who had a picture of the Weeknd next to Lucy from Peanuts.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. Well, He's good though, man. I just don't understand. Get a hat.
It wouldn't fit. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Pharrell, blonde hair, no hat.
Oh, wow. I didn't even recognize him then.
Yeah, he dyed his hair blonde.
Wow. And he didn't have his Arby's hat on.
No, he didn't. Wow. He's done with that.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Now, who is Andra Day and Ellie Goulding?
I don't know who the one chick is, but Ellie Goulding,
she does the pop EDM.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But she can sing.
They were not good. They were not good.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It was just kind of meh.
And then I just wrote down, when in doubt, just cut to Dave Grohl. Which should just be a rule for anybody directing a show that Dave Grohl is at. Make sure you have a camera on Dave Grohl. He was like dancing around and singing, and he was drinking out of a red Solo cup.
No,
which
everybody was.
Oh, everybody was?
I saw a few red Solo cups.
Oh, I was going to say, because I was like, where is he? Was he playing beer pong in the back? What?
Right. I'm just imagining there's a whole thing of Solo cups in the back for the celebrities.
And by the way, the answer is yes, he was playing beer pong in the back. Probably.
Is that right?
No,
of course.
He would.
I love Dave Grohl. And I was a little disappointed. I know he introduced the thing. He should have been part of the Hollywood Vampires. You know what I mean? Get Dave Grohl in there, man.
I was surprised when you told me who did it. He was not part of it.
God, you know, you get Dave Grohl in Motorhead? Are you kidding?
Who is drumming back there?
It's Matt Sorin from the GNR.
Mm. Yeah, they could have gotten him.
Of course.
Maybe he didn't want to.
You should call your friend Duff McKagan and find out.
Yeah, that's right. You had dinner with Duff. Didn't they make that movie once? It was My Dinner with Andre and then My Dinner with Duff, right? And Esmeralda was in that.
He does my taxes.
Really good with 1099s.
You know that, right? Like he's like a whiz at music.
No,
or not
I
music.
Don't
he's
know
like a,
that?
He's like a money guy now.
Is he a CPA?
He's not a CPA, but he went back and studied business or something like that because he wanted to know about the whole like his money and stuff.
See, here's what I'm picturing now.
He wrote a column in some magazine or something about it, like money things.
At dinner, did he figure out the check?
No. I'm going to assume
comped.
That he probably took care of it. I don't remember paying.
See, here's what I'm picturing at Esmeralda's place. I'm picturing Duff McKagan is like sitting at her coffee table with, half moon glasses on and an adding machine while Taylor Swift is sweeping up. That's what I'm picturing right now.
Is he wearing a little like one of those visors?
Yes, he's got a visor on. Yeah.
You see, Esmeralda, if you save $10,000 in your 20s and just stick it into a regular savings account, it'll be worth $1 million by retirement age.
We can deduct this and that.
And
like,
also,
wow,
also try not to spend $5,000 a week on cocaine. That might be a...
Maybe that's why he got good at it.
That's probably what it was. He had to add up Axel's drug bills. All right, we had a break. More Grammy talk. We'd love to hear from you, talk and text. We also have a list here of people who have won at least 15 Grammys. Didn't that damn Rob Thomas, smooth piece of crap, Santana, didn't they win 25 Grammys in 5 minutes? Wasn't that like the record?
They're not on the list, so I guess not.
How did they not? I just remember like that whole that. What the hell was the name of that record?
Smooth.
No. The song was Smooth. The album was Supernatural. Supernatural. Oh. My God.
I did just see The Onion this is an old article from The Onion, but it was Santana and Rob Thomas. Smooth sweeps Grammy Awards for 13th year in a row.
God bless The Onion. All right. We got a break here for weather and traffic. 312-981-7200. Grammys, not so good. Some great stuff, but overall not so good. Don't waste my time. Alabama Shakes. It's Don't Want to Fight, which won Best Rock Song, Alabama Shakes. One of the better performances of last night, I thought, Alabama Shakes, as part of the Grammys. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So the big winner of the night, the record of the year was Uptown Funk, which seemed inevitable. And I still love that song. That's one of those songs that I don't think I'll ever get sick of. Uptown Funk. I love that song.
It is a jam.
It is a fly jam. And I love that song. First time I heard it was on SNL, was when they were the musical guest on SNL last year, the first time I heard it. And I was like, what is this? What in God's name is this? And Ronson, right?
Yes.
Mark Ronson. Does he thank? Did you hear his speech?
Oh, I didn't hear him, no.
Okay. He just came up. He said, hey, thank you to all the musicians up here and blah, blah, blah. And he was very, very cool about it. But he pointed out into the audience and he pointed to George Clinton. And he said, there's George Clinton right there, and who has done more with funk than anybody on the planet. And we're honored to, you know, to have done a song with the word funk in it. And just like pointed at George Clinton. They cut to George Clinton. George Clinton is like, that's correct, man.
Also, Morris Day and the Time. No?
Well, yeah, I love Morris Day and the Time.
Apparently.
You know who produced Morris Day and the Time?
A bit of a ripoff. Prince?
No.
What? I don't know.
Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas.
Okay.
Prince wrote a lot of their material, but Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas, who was in they're in the Time. Huey Lewis and Terry Thomas.
Got it.
Yeah.
Did you notice that Mark Ronson was either wearing a very deep V or no shirt?
He always dresses weird.
And then so was Bruno Mars was wearing just a vest under his jacket. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
And a big necklace.
And Bruno Mars was screaming when they were, did you hear the, when they were announcing the nominees?
No.
Like right before they opened the envelope, it said, who gave out the award? Oh God, Beyonce. That's right. Beyonce comes out. They don't even introduce her. She just kind of like floats out. I'm Beyonce and I can float, you know? So Beyonce comes, I mean, I am just over Beyonce. So I have never been about Beyonce.
You be careful. You'll get taken by the Beyagency.
I know. The Beyagency will come and get me. I will say, though, that it was one of the funniest bits on SNL this past weekend.
Oh, right. The trailer.
The trailer for the movie The Day Beyonce Turned Black. That
was good.
Was hilarious. So, but Beyonce comes out. Oh, look, you don't have to introduce me because I'm Beyonce. Watch me float. So she comes out. She gives them, and as she's about to, you know, they've got all five of the nominees in the little squares. You know, they got the cameras on each one of the nominees, waiting for the reaction of the winners and the losers, and you know, the classic award show moments. And he's about to announce it. Bruno Mars is going, yeah, baby, what's going on? Yeah. He's like, Bruno Mars is like screaming. And I'm like, what is he doing? It was like he knew they were going to. He's like, yeah, he's screaming.
He has to scream because that's, to everyone else, that sounds like a normal voice because he's so tiny.
So should he and the troll get together and do some music?
Oh, they should. It would be adorable.
I think Uptown Funk is a great song, and I'm glad. And, you know, of course it was record of the year. In my opinion, it was absolutely record of the year. And then album of the year didn't go to Kendrick Lamar, and it went to Taylor. It went to Swiftie.
Okay, now her song "Blank Space" won something.
It probably won like pop performance. You know, there
I think
are,
album
like,
of the year.
It should. She won album of the year. I'm
no,
sorry.
But "Blank Space," the song itself won something. It was like writing or.
I think I mean, you know that there are like 640 categories.
No, but my problem with that is that song came out in 2014. What is going on?
Maybe. It's one, because, you know, it's a very tricky thing. Sometimes when a single is released, that's when they count it. You know, it's always been very, like the Grammys in terms of like the time frame between the Grammys awards and what's eligible and what isn't eligible. Like, for instance, next year, there'll be 8 million nominations for Kanye. Because he just dropped an album, like, a couple of weeks ago, right? So next year will be the year that Kanye will have 97 nominations.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I don't know. The Grammys don't often
ridiculous.
Make sense. Okay. So how is it that we're supposed to, like, really, like, the whole night look forward to Pitbull? How is that the... Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back... Pitbull. Like,
I didn't know
what?
You gotta say it right. Pitbull.
I don't even. What does that mean?
That's how he says it. Like
Pibble
song.
Pibble. Pibble.
I didn't know he was still a thing.
I didn't know he was still a thing ever. He did Pepsi commercials, right?
He had that song in. Oh, he had that song in something.
He looks like Right Said Fred, only not as good, only not as talented as Right Said Fred.
One of my favorite stories is our car guy, Tom Appel,
yeah,
didn't realize he was a musician. He thought he was a Bud Light, like, made-up character.
Like some dude, but
like
some
Bud Light,
executive invented Pitbull. Well, here's the you know, first of all, this it was ridiculous, okay? But what the hell was Sofia Vergara doing out there? Esmeralda, did you see that?
I saw, because I follow her on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was, I saw pictures and I was like, what's going on there?
He's like, and he's like, he's singing Sofia Vergara in the lyrics. And I'm like, what the hell? And then there she is. She's like, she was in a taxi, like a fake taxi. Because I guess the song was like, I met her in the backseat of a taxi was the name of the song. But how anticlimactic is that? It's like, all right, man, everybody stick around. Pitbull is next. Like, wait, what?
I would have thought like half the people would have left.
I'm sure people were leaving. I'm sure the valets were suddenly running to cars. But it says Pitbull's coming on. Let's get out to the parking lot and get the hell out of here. Let's beat the traffic while Pitbull is dancing around in a fake taxi with the girl from Modern Family. That's a really great way to end the Grammys. Boy, what a high note. A made-up Bud Light character and the chick from Modern Family are closing the Grammys.
In a song that no one knows.
In a song that no one knows.
Because it's Pitbull. No one listens to Pitbull anymore.
Well, some people don't even think he's a real guy. He's like Spuds McKenzie. They just made him up. All right, we got a break. We got the news coming up and then more. By the way, we have a very insane Blackhawks Express to play. Hawks kind of won last night. Kind of. And we'll play back the Blackhawks Express. Got more Grammy talk here, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we'll also talk about people who have won at least 15 Grammys. All right, we'll take a break. News next. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN live in the Allstate studio. We've been discussing the Grammys, which were not good. Most of the performances were disappointing, but this kid was great. This kid, Joey Alexander, 12-year-old piano prodigy, played last night. And that was one of the highlights of the show, a show that had much more lowlights than highlights, including a terrible tribute to David Bowie. By Lady Gaga. But let me give you the highlights in my opinion. Without question, in my opinion, the B.B. King tribute was the best thing of the night. It was great. Followed very closely by Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar was amazing. It was an outstanding performance. And it was one of those kind of things where, like, afterwards, you're like, yeah, you probably should go to a break right now because I don't think anybody would like to walk on stage after that. You know, when this last thing in the world you want to do is try and follow a performance like Kendrick Lamar gave last night. It was pretty amazing. And Esmeralda, you did not get to see the Kendrick Lamar performance, or did you?
I did not.
Yeah, you should watch it. I mean, obviously, all these performances are now all over the place on the internet.
Right.
It's pretty great. In fact, it's really great. I was telling Dan on the way in that, you know, I don't get Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about, you know, I mean, everybody talks about how weird he is and his personality, and he has these, you know, he's done a lot of stupid stuff and
yeah.
Made an ass out of himself on several occasions. I'm not even talking about that. I just never really got him musically.
Really?
Yeah.
Gold Digger?
No. No, first of all, Jamie Foxx is involved in that, and anything Jamie Foxx is involved in, first of all, gets a strike.
You know, like Blame It on the Alcohol?
No.
That song is not good.
No. That's Jamie Foxx, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's not even Keanu West.
Keanu West.
See, now I'd like him then. No. So Kanye West, I just don't quite get it. I think that the College Dropout album has some pretty cool stuff on
it. Yeah.
But gradually it's gotten to the point where I just don't see it. I don't see. I watched his performance on SNL
this past weekend.
And it was awful. It was awful. The second performance was pretty cool because Chance the Rapper came out and kicked ass.
Yeah.
But outside of that,
he's kind of gone off the rails.
But I, you know, and I haven't been a big hip-hop fan. For me, hip-hop ended when The Chronic came out. And that was like 1992.
Oh, boy.
94. Chronic came out in 94. So for me, the hip-hop that I like is the old-school hip-hop, and I thought The Chronic was a nail in the coffin of hip-hop, in my opinion. And I know that it changed hip-hop and made everything change and morph into what it is now. And yeah. And I don't like what it is now. So
you don't like the Drake?
He's fine. He's a nice guy. I liked him on Degrassi. What do you want me to tell you? But So for me, I haven't enjoyed hip-hop for a very, very, very long time. Mm-hmm. It's just not my thing anymore. It used to be. I mean, my God. You know, back in the day, Public Enemy, NWA, all that stuff, you know, De La Soul, Arrested Development. That to me, is hip-hop, okay? This, I don't understand. But Kendrick Lamar, I get. The guy's damn good. The guy is incredible. And that performance last night was pretty amazing. It was pretty amazing. So I can see, what was it? Who tweeted this out, Dan, that I was telling you? Somebody tweeted, Kendrick Lamar is a Kanye West before the Kardashians got
crazy.
To him.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Burn.
The Lemmy tribute was weird, but I liked it. I thought the Alabama Shakes was pretty good. The Lionel Richie tribute, whatever. I don't know. Glenn Frey, they did a nice job with all of the remaining Eagles up there and Jackson Browne. Nice paying a tribute to Glenn Frey with his signature song. Thought that was well done. The Earth, Wind, and Fire tribute, just the song that's the way of the world Stevie Wonder did with what's the name of the a cappella group again?
Pentatonix.
Okay, that was good, but way too short.
Right. Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Maurice White deserved a much bigger tribute, much longer tribute. But someone texted in that in fact CBS is planning a full 2-hour tribute to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, I was gonna say
that's justifiable.
All the 1,000 band members. Yeah, where were they?
But they brought out like the major band. The remaining members of Earth, Wind, and Fire came out and presented Album of the Year. So
all 1,000?
They were there. No, they didn't have all 70 people. I enjoyed The Weeknd. I like him. I don't like his hair, but he's good. Mm. And, yeah, so the highlight for me, B.B. King tribute by far, and Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
So
did you see what did you think when they, it happened twice, where people got cut off?
It happened more than twice.
Well, the ones I saw where the main person was like, thank you, blah, 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 blah. And then right. They turn to look at whoever was with them. And then they're like, they're quietly, and then they just cut them off.
Yep.
It's like, well, maybe you shouldn't talk so much.
At the very end, when we were getting teased with the incredible Pitbull finale, there's 27 people on stage because Uptown Funk just won.
Mm.
And they were not leaving the stage. They were standing by the mic. The lights went off. The sound went off on them. LL's in the middle of the stadium, you know, saying, now coming up, everybody on earth has been waiting for Pitbull and Sofia Vergara, because that's clearly the highlight of our lives.
Right.
They wouldn't leave the stage. So they had to like move the camera around in order to.
Bruno Mars is yelling up
Bruno
there.
Mars is still screaming. So.
I heard booze for that because there's the troll and whoever wrote that song with him. And then they cut to, I mean, they had to stop booing because it was the Glenn Frey tribute.
Right.
So they were booing. You hear booing, and then they stop.
Yeah, we can't boo Glenn Frey. Because they put a video up of Glenn Frey talking.
Exactly.
And it was like, oh, I didn't mean to boo him. I swear to God, I didn't mean to boo the dead guy. I swear. All right, people who have won at least 15 Grammys, okay? Quincy Jones, not a shocker. He has the most Grammy nominations. Take a guess at how many Grammy nominations Quincy Jones has had. 79.
Oh, my goodness.
79, and he has 27 Grammys.
Good for him.
That's amazing.
Where does he keep them all, I wonder? Does he just give them to
I think
people
he probably just has a Grammy room. It's an entire
room.
He
throws
room.
Them in there. Throw,
yeah, they're all piled up. And, oh, by the way, Dan, you know that story that Steve Grzanich did yesterday on the news? Not once did I see any sort of, because all right, here's the story that Steve did on the news. yesterday, or on the opening bell yesterday, they were supposed to have little cameras. Did you know about this?
No.
They were supposed to have little cameras in the statuettes, in the awards themselves, so that you could see, they would cut to it so that you could see from the point of view of the artist accepting the award.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it was like a little mini GoPro thing, camera inside the thing.
Right.
And somebody would hold the award up and it would go out to the audience, or you would see what the award was seeing, not necessarily
I feel like you probably can't see much up there.
Well, I mean, this was a news story. It was a news item, and I was looking for it all night, and they didn't do it once.
They probably scrapped it.
Yeah.
Well, one, I'm thinking, what if the GoPro is still on and they're taking that Grammy to who knows where?
Yeah. Well, they keep the GoPro on all night.
And it's just filming.
Then it's just sitting there. There's orgies and cocaine all over the place. And it's picking it up.
I'm imagining like that. oh, man. What's that song by that Firestarter band?
Oh, yeah. It's a Smack My Bitch Up.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just imagining that.
That's the Prodigy. You've mentioned one of my favorite bands ever. I love Prodigy. Oh, do I love the Prodigy.
And they're good. Even the crazy What's-His-Face.
Oh, man. Come on.
Okay.
Well,
it's just the one guy, though, right?
No, there's two guys, actually.
Because it's the Prodigy.
Well, it's the Prodigy, but it's basically a duo. Breathe is one of the best. That's one of the best songs ever. Oh, my God.
I remember when they were popular.
I went to see him in the mid-2000s.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Dragged my ex-wife. We went to see him at the Congress.
You seem to drag a lot of these ex-wives places.
Yeah, well, there are only two of them, but I did drag them places.
You were dragging them everywhere.
My first wife, I would drag her, and then she'd come home, and I'd be watching Waterworld, and then she called the divorce. Dan, did you get any news on these cameras? Was there any update on that?
There's nothing online. They did say they were going to take the cameras out of the Grammy before the winner would go home with it. So, unfortunately, no TMZ videos coming out.
No TMZ, no cocaine.
But I don't know if they're compiling it now that they have it and they're just going to do something today or what.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
Make a montage.
Yeah,
sure.
How could you,
how could you guarantee that anything would be watchable without editing it together?
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. So we'll keep an eye out for that. All right, Alison Krauss has won, how many Emmys has she won? She has won 15. Kanye West, 21 Grammys.
Oh, wow.
Stevie Wonder, 22 Grammys. John Williams, who you can hear on Saturdays. No, here on WGN. he's won 22 Grammys. Paul McCartney has won 18 Grammys.
I mean, it kind of feels like they just give them to anybody nowadays.
Wait a minute. I just said
Isn't
Paul McCartney.
I know. Well, no, because that's a gimme.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just feels like everybody. Didn't Steve Colbert say he had some
Grammys?
He does,
yes.
Because there's like a category for everyone.
Hillary Clinton has a Grammy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Giving them to anybody.
Aretha Franklin has 18. Eric Clapton has 17. Why does that seem surprising to me?
Well, he did not win until like 1983, according to that thing.
How?
Did he write? I'm assuming he wrote a lot.
Well, that Unplugged album with that Tears in Heaven, that thing was,
right.
I mean, Vince Gill, 20 Grammys. No, he has 15. No, 20. He has 20 Grammys. He has more Grammys than Clapton, Vince Gill. Huh. Wow. Alicia Keys, 15.
Good for her.
Yeah. So. How many have the Prodigy won?
I don't know. How many?
I would guess none.
Really?
That would be my guess.
So do you think, and I don't know if this is still true, but the winner of the best new artist is like a kiss of death?
It's always been. Everything goes back to Milli Vanilli.
So I'm kind of like, good luck, Meghan Trainor.
Yeah. All right. We got a break. We got the weather. We got the traffic. And then a very exciting and borderline insane Blackhawks Express to play for you. Let me quickly, Esmeralda, before you get out of here,
mm-hmm.
very quickly, artists who've won the Grammys for Best New Artist, sometimes it's a curse. Jazz singer Esperanza Spalding beat out 17-year-old upstart Justin Bieber in 2011. Debbie Boone took home the trophy in 78, beating out Foreigner, who would go on to sell 80 million records. Milli Vanilli won in 90. Their lip-syncing scandal broke, and they took the careers were over. The band Afternoon it's not the band Afternoon Delight. Afternoon Delight's the song. The band is something else. They won Best New Artist. Starlight Vocal Band. They won Best New Artist Grammy in 77. Who, by the way, the Starlight Vocal Band also had a variety show that David Letterman was a participant in and wrote for.
Nice.
And then it's basically the kiss of death. But it's not all doom and gloom. Other winners who have won the category turned out to be Adele, Alicia Keys, Mariah Carey, Amy Winehouse.
So four.
Yeah. Out of the entire history of Best New Artist. So now we'll see what happens to Meghan Trainor.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
All right. Doesn't look good.
All right, Esmeralda. By the way, we've got a funky band coming in tomorrow.
Oh, goodness.
Horns, everything, fly. Yeah. 2:15
tomorrow.
Friday's
coming early.
Friday's coming Wednesday. We're going to have a fly jam Wednesday, live performance in here, horn section, everything. Funk.
Fun.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Sorry.
she caught me
mid-drink of my tea.
All right. We'll be right back on WGN.